As I was getting logged in, I was trying to buy a Ryan Preece hat, but it turns out
they don't exist. Yeah.
Well, no. They're, so on,
it got
so,
smashed up in that wreck he was in. The only one.
They were in the trunk.
Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made mistakes. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else, and I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show, you know, and so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find about until it was too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
So, Rob, do you use the NASCAR fan rewards bullshit that's on the website?
No. I've signed up for it, I think, by virtue of being in a fantasy league, but I don't think I've ever looked into it.
So, there's actually some pretty cool, like, deals. Like, basically, like...
Really?
If you check every time a race is on, like, doesn't matter which series it is, if you check in at the you know, the leaderboard, you get 50 points.
Oh,
every
shit.
Time you go to an actual race, you get like X amount of points, blah blah blah. But the thing is, the prizes are actually pretty good. Like,
you can use them for stuff.
Yeah, like I just used mine for a $25 NASCAR gift card, and shit. I was going to buy a Ryan Preece hat because I thought it was 25% off, but it's not. Mm. But there's also a Tim Richmond hat I want, so I'm buying that.
That Folgers, like the new era one, like with the flap rim kind of, with the rope, that shit rules, dude.
That's what I'm buying. And I love that, like, that specific new era hat. I have like five of them. And that's what the Preece one is too. Like, I'm waiting until that goes on clearance, I think, to get that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I got it. I got the new Larson Valvoline one, which is dope. That one's actually more of a trucker hat than the golfer, but it's still got the rope and same bill. And then I got a modified tour one because they're starting to sell, at least in New Hampshire anyway, they sell official NASCAR modified tour merch.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is fucking sick. So,
I will say one thing for next year, though, that I'm going to try to go for. So they have, like, at 7,500 points, which is a lot of points. You have to, like, go to races and shit. You can get, like, $150 experience to do, like, the NASCAR ride-along things. But if you get 9,000 points, you can get, like, tours of garages. You can get your picture taken in Victory Lane.
A kiss from Michael Waltrip.
You probably could get a kiss from Michael Waltrip if you're the right spot. So
without the points.
Take a tour at the abandoned race shop. You can get a
he will just have a be a woman and get a free kiss.
Well, what a Waltrip. one of us in this corner booth here at the Applebee's actually has gone on the Michael Waltrip tour.
Yeah.
Not the kissing part, I assume. But
no, there's no smooching. He didn't want to smooch me. He wanted to smooch my two blonde friends.
Damn.
I was just there for the experience.
You would think that he would have gone after the most authentic NASCAR fan. No offense to the other two friends, because I know
didn't
they're...
give a shit about that.
Still.
Yeah. I don't think Mikey's doing that calculus in his head before he lays lips.
Like, hey, can you show me this Hawaiian Punch? It was a country.
Yeah,
time.
It was Hawaiian. He drove for Hawaiian. No, Kool-Aid. Drove for Kool-Aid.
The one that he was in the bad Bristol wreck.
That was Hawaiian Punch.
It was Kool-Aid Country
Time. Country Time was the yellow one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that helmet's there, and I was just, like, enthralled with it, trying to get him to show it to me, but, you know, he's trying to get those girls in that dark abandoned theater.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe if he would have let you put the helmet on there, you know, it could have gone to bat for
helmets.
Him.
I'll go do
try them all on. And
all right. Well, folks, welcome to Michael Waltrip's Spooky Movie Theater.
That is such a better name for this show, and I might change it.
It's what we're here. We're talking about racing and all sorts of fun little trips that we've been on. I'm Brian. With me, as always, is Ashley and Rob. And Rob, this is a travel delayed podcast.
We had to take
a day off yesterday. Cause,
my fault this time.
That's fine. Hey, we've all done it. We've all had our days where we've needed a day off. So, but you're back home. You went to New Mexico. That was a good time, I'm assuming. You went and saw I Hate God, which that's cool.
I did. I did. It
probably was a very small portion of our audience is going to know who they are, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know. We have some weird fans, so maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 of the 30 people that listen to this might have a back patch or something, but Yeah, it was cool. As I've said on the show before, my parents are moving away from New Mexico and back to their home of Northwest Arkansas. And so this is sort of my last time to go see the house I grew up in. And I won't be able to visit as much just by virtue of not having a free place to stay or a real reason other than just alcoholism to go back there. But yeah, so it was kind of bittersweet to go out there, but it was a good time. I did see I Hate God. I believe I mentioned this on the show, too. I was going to try and go see Dwight Yoakam, too, because he's playing the same night. But Dwight tickets, like the cheapest ones, like all in with the fees, were like $90 or some shit. Which yeah, I would have thought about paying if the shows didn't have the exact same start time. So I spent the entire afternoon before going out on the town trying to decide what I was going to do. It's like, all right, so Dwight's going to be done by like 9:30, right? Because a bunch of fucking old boomers going to the show. Mm-hmm. And I'll be able to get down to Albuquerque because surely I Hate God is not going to play a note before fucking midnight. And it's a good thing I didn't try and do that because they were on stage at like 10:15 or some shit.
Well, they're elderly too now, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's these metal bands and hardcore bands. Yeah. It's a bunch of old folks. Yeah,
I showed up at 8:45 and Goat Horror was already on stage, and I was like, "What fuck is happening?" I've never seen anything happen on time in Albuquerque, but. But yeah, it was a great time. I'm going to miss going there as often as I was able to. But, you know, there's a lot of cool shit happening in Northwest Arkansas, too. That puts me within about 3 hours of Kansas Speedway, within 3 hours of Lake of the Ozarks, that dirt track. Somehow, even though it's like the next county over, fucking Batesville, where they do the Topless 100, is only 4 hours away. The Chili Bowl's within 2 hours. So there's all kinds of good racing shit and a lot of good music shit happening up there. So I'm looking forward to the next chapter there. But quick shout out to all my buds in Albuquerque. I'm going to miss seeing you as often as I have been able to. So come see me out in fucking the Ozarks instead. Yeah. Squirrel hunting or whatever the fuck it is they do out there.
Kill them raccoons.
Kill the raccoons. Get down there, tune the wire down there in the gully. We almost had to cancel today, too. True Love had some internet problems. So the local Georgia raccoons, they got into the Dawsonville water supply, which is irradiated, and they just mistakenly, they get the taste of metal when that happens, and they ate right through the Wi-Fi cable. But she's back. Did I miss any parts of that story, or is that pretty accurate?
That was it. It was spot on right there. The internet was down for like 8 hours or something.
Yeah. Needless to say, I didn't watch a whole lot of racing this weekend. I did watch the Southern 500. I can't talk about really any short track shit because I have no fucking idea. I was too busy doing other stuff. But, yeah, it was a good race on Sunday, in my opinion. But I guess we'll start with you guys since you actually probably put some time in.
I'm trying to think. So, yeah, I mean, I obviously watched both races at Darlington. Although, admittedly, Saturday, like, I wasn't paying super close attention. Like, I had it on. It was a fine race. It wasn't nearly the finish of the spring race. And, yeah, Denny Hamlin won, which nobody was really all that excited about. But I guess nobody should have been really all that surprised either. No. But it was fine. I mean, it was a race. It was whatever. Sunday, so So I know we talk a lot about betting on the show. And I had a betting mishap this week. So I decided, you know, listener Mike mentioned he was going to put a buck or two on Carson Hocevar getting a top 10, which I thought was kind of a risk, but after kind of listening to Carson talk and seeing him run fairly decent in practice, you know, qualifying, I was like, all right, I'll put a tiny little bit of money on him. Now, a tiny little bit of money on him to me is like, I was going to put 30 cents, which would have won me a couple bucks had he gotten one. Well, turns out I fat-fingered it, and I put in $30 for this bet, which cleared out every cent of my 2 weeks straight of Chris Buescher winnings. So I didn't cash in. Yeah, all my Buescher bucks were gone for on this Carson Hocevar bet. So that's how my race started out.
Did you put any money on Chris?
I think I might have put like a quarter on him or something. I know after everything was all said and done, I won like $2. I forget who I won $2 on.
It's
probably
Chris Buescher.
Well, I know I put I put like a quarter on Eric Jones getting a top 10, so I know that was at least part of it, but I don't know what the fuck else I bet on.
That's the one place Eric Jones knows how to drive a race car anymore, it seems.
Hey, I was there for his first win, so, you know, I'm psyched on him, so.
Sign of a good race car driver. Sign of a great race car driver. And Eric Jones is great, so. Yeah. Speaking of legacy.
Self a new teammate next year.
That's right. Old John Hunter Nemechek finally getting pulled out of the closet. Dusted the mothballs. They did this afternoon, or, well, yesterday, if you're listening to the show on release day. Yeah, it's official.
I must have missed that. I was too busy listening to Cody Rhodes on Dale Jr.'s podcast for all the wrestling fans out there.
Yeah.
Total dog shit interview. Just let y'all know. Don't even waste your time if you actually know anything about wrestling. If you don't know anything about wrestling, maybe you'll get something out of it.
Yeah, I did but like how he showed up with Dale Jr.'s haircut from 2003. I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, Cody became very Aryan once he left WWE, even though he's married to a black woman and has a mixed race. His daughter named Liberty. He definitely looks about as Aryan as you can look for a wrestler.
You're saying a grown-ass man can't bleach his tips this day and age?
He doesn't have bleached tips. He has straight up bleached everything, like to the roots.
Asshole. Bleached asshole.
He probably does have a bleached asshole. They don't even mention a Dusty Rhodes' funny car in the fucking show. Cody makes up some bullshit about how Dusty Rhodes was a Dale Earnhardt fan, didn't like Richard Petty, didn't like Jeff Gordon, loved Dale Earnhardt. I think that's bullshit. And he had a funny car. They didn't mention that once. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, I guess that is sort of the problem with the interview format of that show is that they do just kind of shoot the shit. And it's I would imagine they let Dale run the show too, so they just kind of talk about whatever they talk about, I think. And, you know,
that can be good and can be bad. I think with this interview, it's funny because Dale doesn't really watch wrestling now. Like, I think maybe he tunes in once in a blue moon, but he watched as a kid when Dusty was big. But he didn't watch WWF at all, which is obviously WWE now. He didn't watch any of that shit. So, like, it's very funny how Cody clearly wants to talk about WWE the whole time, and Dale doesn't really seem to give a shit. So
two guys' sons just talking about each other's dads for a couple hours.
I haven't listened
to it yet. I just saw like a couple of highlights on the internet. So
don't waste your time. It's not worth
too
it.
Bad. Well, speaking of good podcasts that Dirty Mo puts out, that Earnhardt series that our buddy Bobby Marcos helped produce and get out there is fucking excellent. I think we said that on the show before. It is absolutely worth a listen. And nice work, Bobby.
I'm like halfway through that, but it is, you are right, it is very good.
One more thing about Dirty Mo Podcast. You guys noticed that fucking ad that is on before like most episodes of that like Australian chick? He's like,
oh yes,
it's your vagina.
You know? The vagina health ad. Okay, so thankfully I'm not the only one getting this. Cause I was like, what the fuck? I'm listening, it's like, why the fuck, what shit am I looking at somehow that this targeted ad is coming just to me? No, thankfully
it's Hello Brian, it's your vagina. But I mean, I've noticed that those shows are very much they're very ad heavy this season.
Yes.
And a lot of it just seems like whoever is making the decision to put the ads in there is just letting the algorithm naturally do its thing.
Mm-hmm. Mike Davis didn't want to rate that one.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine that? Hello, it's your vagina. That's not what his voice sounds like, but God. Well, I'm glad. I'm also glad I'm not the only one because I kind of thought maybe it was me.
I haven't heard that ad, so I think it's just.
I was going to say, Ashley, as the person on the show with the vagina, have you gotten this ad? Apparently not.
Heard that.
So it's just for you and me, Brian.
Bullshit. We were talking about Darlington, though. Anyways, this went
the
off the
lady
rails.
In black.
There we go. Just turn it back. The lady.
I'm
in
a
black.
Fucking professional, kids.
Ashley, what did you think of the fucking races? They were races happening. What talk about them?
Honestly, it feels like 2 weeks ago, and I barely remember it.
Well, I will say this. You know, I almost went this past weekend, and I didn't. I would have seen yet another fucking goddamn Kyle Larson win.
You just gotta go to Phoenix, buddy. That's all you gotta do, and it'll be okay.
He could win there. He won there a couple years ago.
He could, and he won the championship if he does. So what I need you to do is go to Phoenix.
Don't go to Phoenix, Brian. Stay home.
Well, we'll see who may. I don't think it's gonna be happening. So, you know, I think you're all lucky there.
Thank you.
Speaking of Hendrick hate, my God, Alex Bowman with the fucking butthead move of the year there. Just wrecking himself. Nope, there's no defense of that.
So I'm not gonna say that was not a bonehead move, but I will say that after, I forget who I listened to, I don't know if it was Denny or Dale Jr., but, you know, they talked about it, and they all make the great point that, you know, Suarez didn't have to...
He could have lifted.
Part of this goes on Suarez, too. Like, Suarez, you know, I forget how they talked about it, but he could have let off.
He could have lifted a little bit and let him have that, but that was, I don't know. You're kind of asking to get sent off someone's nose when you do shit like that. And I think Suarez had every right to not lift. He didn't have to do it, you know?
Well, I guess the point that Dale Jr. made 2 points. One, that what Suarez should have done in the first place was just when he blocked, just fucking tapped him and let him spin. That would have been smart. And then also the other thing, you know, he could have lifted. But then also that Bowman was like... Bowman might not have been trying to block him up the track. He was just trying to get back into the racing line because he was right pretty much in turn two or whatever. So, I mean, obviously he made the first block, but the second block wasn't technically a block. I don't know. It was a bonehead move by both of them, and it shows why they're not in the playoffs.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
It's patently obvious why neither of those guys. Daniel Suarez is the worst driver at Trackhouse this year, and there's been like 3 other guys in those cars, so... Yeah, you gotta. I know that that team is built around him, but Jesus, that guy's gotta pick it up a little bit. Though I guess he was running top 10. That was for 9th, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that. Yeah. But I mean, again,
and Bowman's gonna be around a little while too. He's signed up nice and pretty for at least a couple years, I think. And he was leading the points up until his injury. So you know, to say he has is doing a shit job, or has done a shit job this year, is a little non-factual, but still. Yeah. And the lens of current, I would say that.
Yeah, he's fallen off the wagon since the beginning of the season.
Seriously, shit-faced out there or something. But yeah, it seems like they don't like each other, which is fun.
Yeah, yeah. Any rivalry is a good rivalry to me, I think.
I agree. So.
Speaking of not lifting, that Cindric and Ty Gibbs wreck, was it just me, or did it feel like Ty Gibbs just purposely kept pushing Cindric sideways down the track? Did y'all see that?
I don't remember that one. I mean,
it was pretty nasty. I'll be honest, when I first saw the replay, I did agree with that, but it had a little help. I don't know. I don't think that was all Ty necessarily.
I just meant like after they wrecked and Cindric was like...
He just kept his foot in it.
Yeah, just kept pushing him sideways.
He did try and clear him.
Are you pushing him to his pit box, or what are you doing?
Yeah, he did give him the old sprint car push there after it was all said and done. But, yeah, I wanted to blame Ty for that one, but I don't really think that was a straight dump. But I don't like either of them either, him or Cindric. So, some guys I don't like cleaning each other out. So.
Some odd rivalries happening in that race.
Seriously. Yeah, Kyle Larson getting the nice big win there. It should have probably been Harvick. Or any one of the Toyotas if they wouldn't step on their own dicks on pit road or otherwise. But, hey, as a Larson fan, I'll fucking take it. And quick shout-out before we get your opinions on all that shit to Ryan Preece, our local boy, showing up with some fucking dark red blood eyes. Blood for eyes, this guy had.
Yeah, it's straight.
Had a really shitty weekend on track, but...
yeah, real bad.
But still.
Maybe you should have just...
Take the week off.
For like,
hey, listen, it worked. It worked for Davey. So
it did. Yeah, it worked for Ricky too. Yeah, and you know, good on him. I'm glad he's okay. And you know, now if there was anything seriously wrong with him, NASCAR would not have let him run. There's no question about that. So I'm just glad to see everything worked out after Daytona and he's back out there. And you know, it takes a tough sumbitch to do that. So I'm gonna have a quick little bourbon here for Ryan Preece. You can see it if you look closely. At your screen right now. Here it comes.
That's probably why that Ryan Preece hat wasn't on sale, because his stock has temporarily gone back up.
Exactly. Yeah, 10 people went out and bought them.
Yeah, I got my eye on it for weeks. That does.
We'll forget again.
Well, we'll see. But hopefully by the end of the season here, I'll have enough points from NASCAR to get another gift card, so I'll get it one of these days.
Yeah.
We'll see. Trying to think. So I know we didn't talk. I had the IndyCar race on, you know, during the day, Saturday or Sunday, but I wasn't really paying much attention to it. I'm trying to think. Alex Palou won the title.
Alex Palou won the title. It's the earliest the title's been won. How many races
do they have left?
Just one. They're going
2007.
That's right. Yeah. They got one left. They're going to Laguna Seca this weekend, which is always a pretty cool show. Legendary place. Always cool to see IndyCars there.
Exact same time as Kansas.
Yep.
How cool.
Well, which I can assure you that the Kansas race is probably going to be a much better show than Laguna Seca, unfortunately.
But, yeah, I mean, Laguna Seca has that cool S-turn, but that's about all I really know about it.
Where Alex Zanardi pulled that pass, which would be illegal in every single racing series on the planet these days.
I remember watching that live, actually. Same. Now that you mention that.
No track limits.
Yep.
Which I kind of agree with that. Like, there really shouldn't be track limits if you can drive through the fucking dirt on a hill and make a pass. Yeah. And you're not going to snap your suspension off, then, you know, go for it. But that's just me.
Different times.
Different times.
I'm trying to think. So, but there's not much. Okay, so we'll say this before we move on to whatever next segment we have. It's the next to last bit of Kenny Tremont news we'll talk about on the show. This weekend was the Super Dirt 100 lap race at Lebanon Valley, the last race of the season at Lebanon Valley, and was Kenny's last race at the track. I actually finally ponied up the $40 for the monthly subscription to Dirt Vision so I can watch. And I'm also going to watch his last race at Albany Saratoga on the 23rd. They're doing a 115-lap feature in honor of him. And yeah, Kenny ran 17th. Andy Bichetti led every lap. Was pretty boring race. But, you know, Kenny gave a nice little post-race goodbye interview, which was a little tough to watch. It's funny, and I'll get into some personal stuff here. Like, I last time I went to therapy was a few weeks ago, and it was after the Kenny meeting, and my therapist asked, like, why I was doing all this stuff, why this was such a big, important part of the year for me, is seeing all this stuff, and it's hard to really put into words, I guess. It's not just a racing thing. I think it's just one of those things from childhood, from back home, that's like ending. You know, like every time we go home, like this is closed or this is gone or this person's not around anymore. And
yeah,
Kenny Tremont was in that car at that track literally my whole life, ever since before I was born. So to now, every time I go home, he's not going to be there. Well, he'll be there, but, you know, he won't be racing.
Right.
Yeah, I think that was just kind of just like set it in stone for me. Like, I got to see as much as I can of these last few races. So, hopefully he does a little bit better, and I have a feeling he'll do a little bit better at Albany Saratoga. He's been running a bit better there this season, and I'm excited to see how that race turns out. And I doubt maybe the 13-year-old will be running again that night. We'll see what happens, but that'll be in 2 weeks for those who want to watch with me.
Hell yeah. So you have Dirt Vision now. That's great. Have you checked anything else out on the app?
Not yet. I literally got that for that show, and you know, I'm only gonna get it for this month because you know, obviously it's the end of the racing season. But I'm gonna take advantage of it as much as I possibly can. So if there's a race on when I have nothing going on, I'll have that on.
Well, sure. Gold Cup's this weekend, so that's always a good show. Big World Outlaws 410 show.
Okay.
Also, cool. For you Flow subscribers out there, the World Fucking 100 is this weekend. Prelim nights start tonight, folks. Thursday night. And there's about 100 cars on the entry list now. It's a pretty fucking stacked entry list. No Scott Blomqvist. He's still taking a break. Let's see. Tim McCready, actually not on the entry list yet. I know there's been not really drama per se, but he's not driving that factory Longhorn car starting next year. And Brendan Shepard's going to be doing that. But he's still not on the entry list. I'm sure he'll pop up. And also, speaking of late models, Matt Shepard. Or excuse me, not late models, but the big block modifieds up here. Matt Shepard is going to be running for Nice Motorsports, as well as everybody else who you've ever heard of in a dirt late model. They're going to be out there. That's going to be a good show.
I didn't realize Nice had a dirt team, too.
They do. That's who Carson Hocevar drives for, and they run a bunch of random people. And this weekend, they're going to be having old... whoever the fuck I just said, Matt Shepard. I get him and all the other Matts up here in New England mixed up. Matt Hirschman, all of them. Hirschman's not there.
$30 on Carson Hocevar, you could afford to watch him.
It's true.
More on Dirt Vision.
Yeah, but the Dream is going to be a great show. I already talked about Eldora this season, and this is a bigger race than the Dream that I went to. This is the fucking big show for dirt late model racing, and I expect Jonathan Davenport has won pretty much everything recently. He's definitely the new dynasty guy, but I got my eye on Bobby Pierce, man. If he doesn't knock the fucking deck out of it early, I think I just got a feeling. I don't know. The smooth operator, Bobby Pierce, folks. That's my pick. Don't listen to what I have to say, though, because I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Well, you know more than me and Ashley, so there's that.
Also, Tyler Carpenter is bringing his whole brood of children, his Hey Dudes and his mullet all the way.
I was going to ask, where's that guy? Where's that guy been? I follow his lady on Twitter, and she only pipes up when like he cheats on her or something. That's it.
It's one of the internet's greatest gifts.
Yeah, it really is.
But yeah, Tyler Carpenter coming to run the Dream. That'll be fun. He doesn't really race anywhere but indoors, it seems, lately. Anytime there's a dome involved, he'll pop up. But he waits for the big shows to make his mark, and this is certainly the biggest of them all. So it'll be fun to watch him get out there with the big boys and put on a show.
Cool.
Blows my mind every time that I remember that he's not 18. Because he looks perpetually 18 years old.
Well, he looks like an 18-year-old from 1986, is what he looks like. He looks exactly like this one monster truck driver from when I was a child, and it creeps me out every time I look at him, because they both look like snakes, like human snakes.
A human snake would be a great nickname for a dirt late model driver or any race car driver. Snake Carpenter would be a fucking sick name too, but
probably one of his kids is probably already named that.
Yeah, Tyler, if you're listening to this, check it out. Speaking of Tyler, there's a great Flow Racing documentary about him and the Gundakers hating each other at the Dome in Gateway. That's always fun. I forget which Gundaker. Corey Gundaker? I don't know.
Hatfields and McCoys.
Sort of, but in a dome in in St. Louis.
So, I don't know where to fit this in, but I know you had a lot of thoughts about it, but, so Danica Patrick went to Burning Man this weekend.
we could have fit that in with the pussy cream commercial earlier, but...
We could have, I guess.
She's gonna need some of that after stranding in that mud for a few days.
Rob, again, you said you had thoughts, so let's hear them.
What kind of real thoughts I have, other than, you know, I'm not surprised to see that.
I thought Burning Man was this like hippie music festival, but it turns out over the years it's kind of evolved into this like, you know, rich celebrity thing.
Yeah, like, it's
just
like
people go out and build shit and burn it, I guess. And
yeah.
Danica was there, and she was there pretty much wearing nothing. Like, if you want to see her more or less topless, go on her Instagram. Like, you know, not a lot to see, but it's there if you want to see it. Yeah.
I did like her Instagram post about it, though, because she posted a screenshot of the People magazine article about 1,000 stuck at Burning Man due to extreme rain, told to conserve food, water, and fuel. And she adds a little caption, says, "Made it out, stuck 3 times and it took 4 hours, but on pavement," which is pretty similar to pretty much every NASCAR race she ever ran. So I thought it was kind of nice. She's continuing that tradition out in the desert there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite Baja trucks or anything sick like that, but, you know, Jeff Gordon goes out there too. All sorts of rich motherfuckers.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What? To Burning Man?
Yeah, I'm
Jeff
pretty.
Jeff Gordon.
Google it.
I'm going to do this right now.
Yeah, do it live.
I can't Google and do this podcast at the same time. My phone doesn't work.
I can. I'm already on it.
The raccoons got the Google cable.
Yeah, so 2018, Jeff Gordon riding a one-wheel motor scooter at Burning Man. Okay.
Yeah, a lot.
He was there.
Again, Burning Man only knows, like, a certain tax bracket. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do. Like, you just get an invite in the mail once you cross, like, I don't know, 8 digits annually or some shit. So
I could kind of see Jimmy Johnson and his wife doing some shit like that.
I was gonna say Jimmy Johnson, definitely. I could see that. All right, well, Jeff Gordon was there. Cool. Not really, but whatever.
He's on to the Jeff Gordon's moved on to the fleece vest period of him being rich. He just looks more and more like Rick Hendrick every fucking day that passes,
every
and
goddamn day. It's so weird.
I love it.
I don't know how I feel about it, but whatever.
Yeah, Danica got out though. She's out of the desert. And Brian, you did say you were gonna try and listen to her podcast to see what that was all about. Did you? You didn't. Okay.
I didn't. I had the Cody podcast today. Yeah. I listened to the Pensboro podcast, which we'll get to. I didn't get to the Danica one. One of these days, I'll listen to some Danica and we can talk all about that because I know she's got some fucking topics and some guests that are way out of right field. Let's just put it that, not left field, right field. No, so, or a Q field, whatever it's, field it's, you want to fucking talk.
It's just a field, yeah.
Yeah.
Used to be a Kmart there, and now it's not anymore. Big old empty building that the city keeps trying to put a library in, but it won't do it. No books.
I don't know what other racing stuff there is to talk about. So do we have any DARFs of the week or any other topics?
I do have a DARF of the week, actually. And I really think I'm going to end up changing this to just a Media Watch type segment. Because I feel like every other week I just talk shit about somebody on YouTube, if we're going to call that media. Mm-hmm. But mine this week is the Black Flags Matter kid, that Darian.
You're going to piss off Ed. Listener Ed is a Black Flags Matter defender, although Ed likes the most obnoxious and shitty people in the world, so that's why he likes Darian. He's one of the Darian's one of the shittiest YouTubers there is, so I'll let you go off and say what you got to say about him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what brought this up, but he's going off on Twitter about something. It was Alex Bowman, I think. He was like trolling Alex Bowman fans, which again, like, look, this is coming from a guy who has a show that just pretty much exclusively shits on race car drivers. That's what we do here, right? So this is, you know, some glass houses kind of shit going on here. So I'd like to fully acknowledge that before I run my mouth about somebody else. This is the same kid that, like, was kind of suggesting that maybe YouTubers get a spot in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. I don't know if he's being serious or not. Who the fuck knows? But he got a bunch of Alex Bowman fans riled up, and an ARCA driver got involved, Zachary Tinkle. But it was like, you can't make this shit up, but he's actually in the NASCAR shit posting group. He's pretty funny in there, has his half the ARCA series.
And Spencer Boyd, he's in there
Spencer
too.
Boyd's Spencer Boyd's up
he's,
there. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
But anyway, Zach kind of calls, this Darian guy out a little bit for being a dickhead in the garage, and everyone knows how much of a dickhead he is and the shit he does to try and stir things up and reports falsehoods and all that. That being the big problem that this guy had with our buddy Zach Tinkle. I'm going to call him a buddy. Why not? Fuck it. And then so Darian gets in there and says, "I'll live getting blacklisted from the ARCA garage, LMFAO," which that is kind of funny. "Goofy Goober's still mad at me for criticizing ARCA. Apologies to my audience for these tweets, but lies about my quote-unquote well-known behavior will not be tolerated, especially coming from some industry backmarker," blah, 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 he goes on. And it's just like, again, as somebody who has a show where I just talk shit about people I don't know very well, I know full well I'm never getting a hot pass out of this. That's just kind of the, you know, I think there was a little hope at the beginning of this that maybe we'd be able to get some, you know, media wristbands or something. So, there's no fucking way. There's
Probably not, no.
This guy actually has the access and complains and talks about journalistic integrity and shit like that, and you can't go out and run your mouth like that. You can't have it both ways, essentially, is all I'm saying.
Well, apparently he doesn't, though. Apparently he lost his NASCAR credentials a few years ago. That's what I was told. Which I saw, in saying that, I saw him on Pit Row at Darlington, but that's also because his YouTube channel bullshit was sponsoring a car, so I have a feeling that's why he was there. But yeah, he apparently lost his NASCAR hard card a few years ago, so that's, I don't know what that's all about.
But again, whatever, just like, you can't have it both ways, and what's the point? Like, try a little harder on the content. And again, like, if you enjoy that channel, I'm not gonna judge you. You can get information out of there. It is like letting your computer automatically read YouTube to you, or read fucking
Wikipedia.
You know, Wikipedia.
Yeah, you can go read Wikipedia articles instead of watching his videos, and do just fine.
But whatever, you know, he does put a lot of content out there, and I don't care for it, but it might, you know, just because it's not my cup of tea doesn't mean it isn't yours. But there are better YouTubers out there, yes. Slapshoes being one of them. We talk about him every fucking week. NASCAR man, Brock Beard, that Eric Steph guy. I don't really like him too much, but he does a good job at what he does. He definitely cares, and you can tell.
I don't love him. I like the Iceberg. He's okay, even though I think he could use a copywriter, but he's fine. You know, there's a couple guys that are okay, but yeah, Black Flags Matter. Yeah, you can avoid him. It's fine.
That's my opinion as well. But yeah, that's my DAR for the week. I was going to take his hard card away, but it sounds like that's already happened, so.
Yep. So yeah, I guess we'll go to the video of the week.
Send the raccoons over to his house to chew through his wires so we can't post this week.
The hellhounds.
So video of the week this week is another video that I'm going to kind of put into the category of a little more of advanced watch, kind of like last week. But also, if you're just a person who likes watching weird shit with not a lot of context, this might be a video for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it found footage per se, but it certainly is like...
This is what I would call fan cam footage. If you know what fan cam footage is, there's garage footage from NASCAR races on YouTube and... You know, a lot of weird, random sports stuff you'll find. But before we get into the heart of the video, I'll talk about the subject. So this video is about Pennsboro Speedway. And Pennsboro Speedway, for those who don't know about it, was a half-mile, very egg-shaped dirt track in West Virginia. Super flat, very weird shape, kind of in this very picturesque, amongst these hills of West Virginia. And it's a track that had a lot of really cool late model racing history to it. It held the Dirt Track World Championships for years, the Hillbilly 100. Mm-hmm. A lot of really cool stuff happened there, but the track also has a pretty checkered history as far as how it was run just all sorts of shady shit happening there. And the track closed.
Shithole. An absolute shithole.
Kind of a shithole.
Legendary, but...
But a cool shithole. And... Yeah. A lot of racing, a lot of cool tracks are kind of cool shitholes, and this was one of them, probably one of the more legendary ones.
Absolutely.
It closed in the early 2000s, 2002, 2003, something like that, and maybe some of you are familiar with it from Dale Jr. going there with Lost Speedways a few years ago, and that's how I heard about it, as someone who, late models were never really on my radar up until the last few years, so I didn't know shit about this track until I watched that episode, and immediately I was not obsessed, but I was like just very intrigued by all the history of the track and where it was, and it's just a very neat, weird track. And
yeah, well, especially when, the racetrack revival branding was put on this. And
yeah.
But the tracks before that you had seen that name attached to were like North Wilkesboro and then Bristol getting dirt put on it. And then, I think there was some involvement in the Nashville Fairgrounds. So for Pennsboro to get brought into the conversation, which was way fucking dead.
Yeah, that was where I was going with this. So 2024, Pennsboro's coming back. And again, the same people, XR Events, the same people who helped with Wilkesboro, same people that helped, with, like I said, Nashville. And what was the other track you mentioned?
The racetrack revival thing had something to do with Bristol getting dirt put on it.
Oh, yeah. But these same people that, did all the other revival stuff decided to take on Pennsboro. And next year it's reopening. So let's talk about the video before we get into the track, like what's going on with the track now. So... found this video, and it's just called The Magic of Pennsboro. And it's 20-something minutes. Excuse me. Sorry.
Getting choked up over there.
There we go.
It's 20 minutes long.
So it's a 20-minute-long video, and there's very little video editing. There's no narration. There's no nothing. It's just like a bunch of
sounds. There's some text.
Yeah, there's a little bit of text. The video starts out with you're getting a glimpies, not glimpse, a glimpies into the sights and sounds of Pennsboro, and all it is just again, just like. Camcorder footage of people walking into the track, drivers arriving, guys working on their cars, fans.
Some legends in there too. Yeah, Rich Ecker, Bob Pierce shows up.
There's a young, sexy, cocaine-era Scott Bloomquist. That's He's right. in there.
Oh, yeah. Long hair.
Donnie Moran. Scott
Bloomquist. Yeah, Donnie Moran. Billy Moyer, who looks like a 27-year-old, 50-year-old, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
it's there's a lot going on in this video with also not much told to you. You just kind of got to look and see. I mean, there's the ambiance of this foggy dirt track with thousands of people surrounding it, people sitting on these hills, walking through mud. Everybody's packed super tight into this track, and I don't even know what the hell race they're at. Like, I want to say it's the Dirt Track World Championships,
it
but I also
to
don't
be.
Think
it appears
but
to be.
They said
the thing is, it's
right?
not, because I looked it up, you know, to jump ahead a little bit. That the race ends with, or the video ends with Charlie Schwartz winning a race while, who is it that crashes? Donnie Johnson? Is that a name?
Yeah, Ronnie Johnson.
Ronnie Johnson. Ronnie Johnson crashes while Charlie Schwartz wins. Well, the Dirt Track World Championship was won by Donnie Johnson that year. So this was not, I don't know what the fuck race this was. Maybe this was a prelim to the main event of that championship weekend. But I feel like there's a second part to this video that I haven't been able to find.
Yeah, I think everything in this video was like heat races and like maybe like a LCQ.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of that stuff. But I wanted to do something on Pensboro because once this track was announced that it was getting revived, it's like, well, I looked into it, realizing how close I was to West Virginia, and I'm only Cleveland is only 3 hours from Pensboro, so I'll be there next year. Like, yeah. I'm going to at least one of the races.
So's Eldora, pal.
Yeah, but Pensboro's different. This is different. Like, Ashley and I went to Wilkesboro last year, and I guess this is going to be my new thing, going to revived racetracks. And Pensboro just has a different ambiance to
I mean, that's
Eldora.
A fact. Again, like I said earlier, like, you saw what they did with Wilkesboro, and you kind of had an idea of what it could look like. But
yeah.
Pensboro, like, for those of you who have not heard of this place or ever seen videos or footage of it or anything, there's really not very many grandstands. It's just really in the middle of this giant hole in the earth that's yeah. surrounded by grass, and a lot of people just sit up on the hills around the racetrack, and it just kind of feels like something that was found abandoned.
And yeah,
you know what I mean?
The racetrack itself looks like complete shit. Like, even back when it was at full capacity,
yeah,
like
people
the
sitting in trees
awful.
And just yeah, it's God. I wish I could experience the yeah. way it was, and I'm very curious to see what they do in reviving this, because it's almost like they are going to have to build some stuff that did not exist previously to make this happen. So
I guess we'll get into that, because you know, again, the video itself, there's not a ton to talk about. It is just one of those things you have to watch. Like again, there's
it's so fucking muddy. It looks like fucking
yeah.
It looks like Burning Man.
Yeah,
yeah.
In the
same vein as Burning.
Except there are race cars here, so you know Danica Patrick was not.
Yeah.
So shitting on Danica today.
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah. Did we lose Brian? I think we did. Hello, mate. Hello, Danica. It's your vagina. You lost your flip-flop back in the mud hole there, Gov.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Brian's gone. But, yeah, I love this video. I said this when Brian sent it over, and within 2 minutes, I'm like, this is my favorite fucking video we've ever watched. Not just because it's late model content or Pensboro, but it's just got it all. And it's kind of awesome. Like, even if you don't care about racing at all, it's just really fucking unique VHS footage, and if you know what you're looking for, you can find all sorts of gems in here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of history, again, sort of presented without context, so for anybody exactly
you keep waiting for something to happen,
but yeah,
keep watching.
There's old Freddie Smith's car right there, but yeah, it's just it's so cool, and so I really, really, out of all of them, I recommend that you folks watch this one, because it's kind of short. I know there's got to be more to it. I almost want to reach out to this cat and see what the fuck his deal is. If he's still alive, I don't know, but I'd like to see the rest of this video.
Yeah. It said to be continued at the end, and then...
And it was not.
Maybe he died before he could...
He got stuck in the mud. But yeah, I'm really curious to see how this comes back. And I'm very, very excited to see it happen. Because again, like, if you thought Wilkesboro was a crazy occurrence, this is beyond.
Yeah, I'm sure Brian will mention it later, but like, when they're bringing it back, like, the track was originally a half mile, but when they bring it back, they're only doing a quarter mile track.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. A lot of the, like, locals are very upset about it, but I guess it's just too much of an undertaking to do the whole half mile.
Yeah, and again, such a weird place. Very narrow, very flat, you know, especially in context with the late models you see today, where the, you know, completely driving off the right rear, which is the deal back in the day, too, but it's just so flat that these guys are almost driving it like an asphalt track. They're kind of keeping it in a straight line a little bit, which is certainly not something you see a whole lot of these days. But no doubt they're putting this much attention into it.
Did you mention that this track goes over a creek?
It does go. There's a creek that runs right down the middle of it.
There's bridges that the race cars have to drive over.
Yeah. Pretty incredible stuff. And like I said, I'm very excited for this to happen. XR, the company helping to bring it back, they also run a dirt late model series. Scott Bloomquist has a hand in that as well. They are running their big season finale at Pennsboro. So that'll be, I don't know if that's the first race there. I kind of imagine it is.
The first race is 602 late models and right. Steel blocks.
Hell yeah. Well, it's going to be good no matter what, but the XR series is fun too, even though it is just another fucking streaming service to pay for.
I think the XR series is going to be the finale next year.
Yeah. Is it the Hillbilly 100? Is that what they're calling it? I'm going to look this up real quick.
I don't know if they put names on it yet, but I just saw the classes. They're going to do, 410 sprints there, 604 late models, modifieds.
The Mason-Dixon 100, excuse me.
Ah, that's it, yeah. Sorry.
I guess it wouldn't be the... he's done. But yeah, XR actually has a pretty cool schedule. They just released that yesterday, I believe. They're going to Volunteer and Bulls Gap. That's always a great show. They're going to Kokomo, which is kind of cool. Stops in Minnesota and Iowa as well. 300 Raceway. Well, Raceway is the hardest word out of all of that. And of course, Pennsboro wrapping it up. So,
all right. So where do you guys stop listening to me? Where did I fall out?
About 10 minutes ago, buddy. Ago. Yeah.
What was the last thing I said?
It's been so long, Brian. I don't know.
Jesus Christ. I went off on a whole rant about how the 5-year plan of Pennsboro
No numbers, no year, no plan.
Okay. So I don't know what happened. My screen went black and like, I don't know.
Goddamn raccoons.
Fucking raccoons. Oh my God. So let me quick, I'll a brief synopsis. So they don't want to do the 5/8 mile track. Next year it's going to be a quarter mile track.
There you go.
Yeah. Me and Rob.
And the town itself, like the town, the track, they have everything there at the track to pretty much be ready to go almost immediately. They've got catch fences. They've got all the electricity shit figured out. They've already got internet. They've got clay in the hill that they can rebuild the track with perfectly. The whole rant that I just, what's that?
They got hot dogs.
I'm sure they'll have hot dogs. They do talk about how they want to have good food and stuff for the fans.
It's growing out of the ground out there.
The point that I was trying to make, and Rob, as a late model guy, you have to help me here.
Big time
so,
late model guy. Yeah. Expert.
They do want to do the half mile eventually. The goal is to start off with the quarter mile track and make it more of a local track. They want this to be used by not just the big touring series. They want it to be used by local guys. They want it to be a track that the community can take advantage of. And not just that, that whole property is used for other events. So basically getting the track ready to go now will help not just the track itself, but it'll get like the whole town, it'll help. But
like,
for the half mile,
shit, what else are they doing there?
Yeah.
They do like gun shows and it is fairground property, right. So they do other fairground property stuff on it, you know, like kind of a mixed use facility type deal. But the point I was trying to make was, so apparently the super late model guys don't like running that fast anymore. That was one of the points that was brought up in the, like the guy even said specifically, like, these guys don't want to run 150 miles an hour anymore. There's the West Virginia Motor Speedway, which isn't too far away, and the guys don't like running there because it's a half mile and it's too fast. This, to me, sounds crazy. And Rob, like, what the hell do you know about this? Because, like, it does not seem like they go that fast at the 5/8 mile track. Like, I'm sure the backs, like, going
in. They haul the mail, that's for sure.
They definitely do.
I'll be honest, I don't know about if guys want to not go fast anymore. I do know that aero is a huge component with dirt late model racing, especially on the fast tracks, and I feel like that's sort of changing the game a little bit, and it's responsible for why racing at Eldora has not been that hot lately. By the way, and my other DARF for the week is whoever was out there trying to talk shit on Eldora not being a great event anymore just because it's had two kind of off years. You can just kiss my vagina then there, Governor. Well, but anyway, I think it might have something to do with that. Again, I'll have to do some asking around because the speed thing is certainly something that I don't know a whole lot about. But really, you know, the faster you can go, and you take it off of the shorter tracks, I mean, it doesn't matter what series it is. The faster you go, it kind of puts it in the hands of the haves and gives the have-nots, if you will, less of a chance to really win and take home some checks. So I would imagine that that would also have something to do with it between the aero and also just getting stomped on at these big places by folks who can buy a big motor.
That's fair. But it's funny you mentioned the Eldora not having great races. The Pennsboro guys say that the racing wasn't ever that great on the half mile at Pennsboro. And even in this 20-minute video we watched, I didn't think the racing was that bad. You know, I thought it was fine. It wasn't the best racing I've ever seen in my life. But at the same time, I didn't, like, there people were clearly passing and, you know, there weren't, like, tons of lines. But I think it's such a unique, weird track that I think you only need two lines, really. It seems
I agree with that. And again, like, I apparently went to one of the worst Eldora races people have seen in years, and I thought it was incredible. And there were issues with the track, no doubt about it. And for an event of that caliber, you'd expect a little bit more, but sometimes they get it wrong, and sometimes, you know, they're a little bit of a snoozer. And that's just part of racing, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I'll ask around, because I'm also curious to hear if the speed thing really has anything to do with it. But like I said, I can imagine that if you can't afford a powerful motor, going to a place like Pennsboro or, you know, Knoxville or a big, big, you know, half mile or bigger track doesn't sound that much fun because you're just going to get stomped on by someone who can afford a nice Clements or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. Ashley, do you have any other insights on this video of the week this week?
I had texted my friend who lives near the track, and he had walked the track recently, but now I can't remember what he said, and I can't open his text because then I can't exit out of this.
It's for you to know and us to find out.
I do know
he said something about how one reason that they were doing the quarter mile was because they thought it would bring in bigger names so they could have bigger events. Something along those lines.
The guy, I mean, that was part of what the guy said today on the podcast. I just had a brain fart and lost what I was about to say. But, yeah, I don't know. Fuck, man. I had a whole point in my head and just lost it.
Your mic failed and you got it all out of your system and now...
I did. They did say that this is my point. So, they do plan on having the half mile walkable for the races next year. Like, they plan on at least making it look like it's a track and, you know, people can go take photos and kind of walk the track and stuff. I don't know. I hope they do the half mile at some point just for the history of the track. You know, they have a 5-year contract there, and XR Events plans on being there for 5 years. And it sounds like, you know, it could happen. I guess we'll just kind of see how 2024 pans out. But I guess I will be at least I don't think I'll go to the first one because it's funny. The first race is 420. Like they even made jokes about like the kids are calling as the kids call it the first race is 420. But I am very interested in going to the Memorial Day weekend race because that'll be the invitational, and I'm interested to see who they get to come out and race for that. And then we'll see what happens later on in the year. But yeah, I mean, I am, regardless of whether it's on a quarter mile or a half mile, like I want to go experience that area and see what it's all about.
Same. Yeah.
So,
make a little road trippy out there.
Kyle Larson, cause he'll be running the Indy 500.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
You won't have to see him win again.
But well, he probably could. If he really wanted to run all three of them, he probably could.
Yeah, he probably could. I would imagine, I could see XR trying to get him for the Mason-Dixon 100, maybe, but yeah.
That's what they're running.
It sounds like Kyle Larson was not allowed to race the Dream this year. Or excuse me, not the Dream, the World 100 coming up. He was supposed to be on the entry list driving for Rumley. And then all I've heard is that someone said his dad wouldn't let him run, which I'm assuming means Rick Hendrick.
Papa H.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But sure enough, he is not on the entry list, and the Rumley 5 is not going to be there, unfortunately.
Papa H has had enough. He's putting everyone in timeout for the rest of the year.
He has, like, one guy who can run for a fucking championship this year.
Listen, I mean, you got the fucking Knoxville race. You won all these other things. You're in the playoffs now. Just chill. Chill till the off season, then go run.
Wrong.
Chili. Oh, he's not running Chili Bowl anymore. So next week, I've already got next week planned for the video of the week, and we're going to be returning to the history of monster truck racing.
Oh, I found it's back.
The perfect next chapter to talk about. So that'll be next week's show.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we are as we already mentioned, we're in Kansas this week for NASCAR, IndyCars at Laguna Seca. Couldn't give a fuck about F1. What else is going on race-wise this weekend?
Well, we already talked about the World 100. That's a big show. I think I mentioned World of Outlaws as well. They're out at Silver Dollar in Chico. That's going to be a good show. The Tusky 50 is happening this weekend, too, if you like 410s that aren't World of Outlaws. That's at Port Royal. That's always a good show. And then the NASCAR Wheel of Modified Tour is going to be at Monadnock, which... for the Winchester Fair is what it's called. No race number or mileage or anything. Just the Winchester Fair, and Lord willing, if the rain holds off and the raccoons don't nibble on the lights and shut the thing down, I will be out there.
We didn't even talk about the fucking lights. That was the one thing.
So at Darlington. That had to have been the raccoons.
Stupid 7-minute delay.
Darlington's not that far from here, so
that's true.
Making their rounds.
Wait, Ashley, hold on. Are raccoons why you didn't have internet earlier? Is that the problem?
Yes.
I don't fucking know.
Yes.
That's just what we're going with here.
That's exactly what
me
it
and
was.
Rob decided before the show. We're sticking with it.
Yes. Okay. Those goddamn raccoons down the gully chewing on the internet cable again.
All right. Well, this show's been going for a while, so I say we should end it.
We need to mention that today is a special holiday.
Oh yes,
we're missing all the good content.
So
flying with no net.
Today is the literal fourth anniversary of the infamous Applebee's call out.
That's a fact.
The inspiration for this show, Mike Harmon calling out Michael Annette to meet him at the Crawford Road Applebee's because he called him an idiot. probably one of the all-time
single greatest NASCAR moment in the past 30 years.
Well, in social media, yes. I would say it's top five NASCAR social media moment of all time.
It's a Hall
Number
of Fame
one.
Moment. Fuck right them YouTubers we're putting in.
I was going to say, right up there next to the YouTubers and fucking selling t-shirts in the parking lot. Which should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
That should be. The bootleggers. Mm-hmm. Those gypsy tents have put in the hours.
They've earned
miles.
Their spot.
So shout out to Mike Harmon and Mike Annette for creating some of the best content that that has ever existed. So
hell yeah.
Someday, I think my goal is to take Mike Harmon to an Applebee's dinner.
He probably gets
meet him. Listen, you want to go to dinner sometime? Just that's it. I'm sure he'll probably say yes, knowing him. Well, I mean, he's not going to pass up a free meal.
Real quick, before we sign off here, I've talked about my buddy Kyle Armstrong a good bit on this show. He's the guy who I went to the Dream with. He had a great podcast for a long time. I say had, and that's kind of what I'm about to get to. Unfortunately, I won't say who told me this because I don't know if it's really news or not, but Speed Sport is not going to be having a podcast network anymore. So a lot of good shows are getting the axe. I think Kyle got out before all that, but man, I just hate to hear that. His show Forward Bite Podcast, it's still up. I don't know what Speed Sport's plans are for that, but if you like dirt late model racing and if this video we just watch intrigues you, do yourself a favor and go through and listen to that stuff. I believe he owns the rights to everything, and he's probably going to keep doing something. But that guy, he did a great job on that show, and I hate to see it go away on account of some people sort of misreading the room, which is how I kind of gather it. But, you know, too bad, Speed Sport. They're cutting a lot of good shows loose as a result of this, including Forward Bite. But while it's still up, and I imagine it still will remain for a while, you want a little history lesson on dirt late models, give Forward Bite Podcast a listen while you still can.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, to be fair, you don't need a podcast network to do a podcast.
You don't, but you should have seen this fucking studio. It was nice. It's true, and I think that's the idea. He's got more content coming sooner than later, is what I hope. But again, still a great show while it's still available. And that's the main reason why I bring it up, because I don't know what the future of the shows on that network are. So while it's still up and streaming, if you're interested in dirt late models, of course, going into the biggest weekend of the year and on the heels of this video at Pennsboro, I recommend just getting a quick listen in there.
Speed Sport sounds like a deodorant.
it's very close.
My only thoughts there.
Oh, mate, it's your vagina. Have you considered... I love how it's just become Crocodile Dundee, and not a woman at all.
What the fuck? We had SVG doing the...
Yeah. Hello, mate.
Live from Outback. Who is sponsoring one of its servers in the truck race.
That's right.
In Bristol.
And also...
Steven Malzotti.
Yeah.
I want to give one...
Malozzi?
Is that his name? Steven. Steven with the PH.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. You love to hear those stories. And real quick, I guess actually we're trying to wind this fucking show down. I keep remembering stuff I wanted to talk about. This weekend at Kansas, everyone's favorite AI-generated NASCAR driver, Eric Almirola, will be carrying the storied colors of Whataburger, which is the greatest fast food chain that ever came out of Texas. And I'll go eat a green chili double there every time I'm in New Mexico on my way home from the bar or wherever else. Stay 24 hours. They're delicious. Great fries, spicy ketchup. David Starr proudly carrying those colors to 65th place finishes for many years. And now Eric Almirola is going to do them just as proud in the number 10 this week. But it looks pretty cool. Little Smithfield Whataburger collab there. Mm-hmm. So. Little 15,000 cholesterol special right there. 15,000 calories, that's the word.
Same thing.
Yeah, same fucking thing.
Well, as always, you can follow us on Instagram at Meet Me at Applebee's and on Twitter at Meet Me at Debees. I am Speedway Screens on all the medias and speedwaytsj.etsy.com. And now with her thrilling plugs... Miss Ashley Truelove.
Yep. That's Snake Mountain _ Truelove. That's it. That's where I am.
That's true. I don't know how it gets quieter every week.
The raccoons got me.
Lord willing and the raccoons stay at bay long enough.
Lord willing and the coons don't rise.
Jesus. I think you just found another new Instagram handle. You keep popping good ones out there, but...
Maybe that one will stick.
Yeah. RobMoats _unofficial is where you can find me. My band's called These Wild Plains. Again, we got shows coming up. Three shows. How about that? Big Time, big time country music, folks. And we'll be at the Thirsty Beaver in the middle of all that, October 14th or some shit. This is, again, where notes would come in handy. I don't have them, but if you like what you hear, you want to hang out with me in October, just go to These Wild Plains anywhere on the internet, and you can find where we're going to be.
Cool. Wish I were doing that the same weekend as the Robo. That'd be way easier for
me. It'd be fucking smart, wouldn't it?
I was going to say, well, that's... If you're doing it Roval weekend, it's also my birthday weekend, and I'm in New York, but I would possibly...
Damn it!
So,
yeah, I forget what race is happening that weekend, but it's not the Roval, unfortunately.
Mm, nope. Homestead thing? No.
No.
I don't know. Let's end the show.
All right, folks.
Take us home, Brian.
Thanks for tuning in again, and we'll talk to y'all next week.